I think the job of being a teacher is so rewarding in so many ways.
The connection between you and the whole class, that's still unbeatable.
When my pupils are successful, it feels incredible.
I think the greatest thing for me is seeing the pupils that I teach love the subject as much as I do.
I don't think there's any other job where you get the same satisfaction.
That's why I chose to teach.
You could get £26,000 tax-free to train. Search, apply to teach. Selected subjects only, subject to eligibility.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Ladies and gentlemen. Worldwide. Podcasting since 2005. You're listening to Gamertag Radio. With your host, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
Here we go. Welcome to Gamertag Radio, episode 635. This is your host, Danny, a.k.a. Godfrey. And yes, joining me this week, we have the whole Gamertag Radio crew in the house. Let's start with Paris.
Hey, what's going on, everyone?
What's up, man? Are you taking a break from Facebook Live right now or not?
Probably
You're
not.
Always on.
Probably not. I'll probably be on right after we record this.
See, that's dope. See, you guys are missing, man, some behind-the-scenes content. You're not going to find it anywhere else. So you got to go to our Facebook Gamertag Radio page. And like us and watch all the videos there. And also joining us this week, Pete in the house. Pete, I know you had a very interesting story today, and you also had Facebook Live today too, right?
I actually finally popped my cherry and had a Facebook Live moment.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
What was it that motivated you? What was it that motivated you to do that?
I don't know if you would call it motivation, but I was bored as hell because it was 8 a.m. after a long night of playing For Honor till the wee hours of the morning. Locked myself out. I grabbed the wrong set of keys. I grabbed the spare set of keys from the wife's car and not mine. Wife had already left for work and closed the door, turned around, realized wrong keys. I'm not getting back in the house.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
But you know what? I noticed that no matter what time we do this, there's always a good group of people watching live. And then after, you get even more views and stuff. So that's awesome. That's really cool. Really, really cool. So yeah, keep it up, man. Love it. Every time I do my stream, Paris comes in and puts like some angry emojis. I don't know why. He's always angry. Angry Paris. All right, so head over to GamertagRadio.com or play.it/GamertagRadio. Listen to our past episodes. Or you could go to iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, TuneIn Radio, and all the podcast directories.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@GamertagRadio.com. Or leave a message on speakpipe.com/GamertagRadio.
All right, so we're back here, and we're going to talk about a big, big news that came out today. Microsoft has changed their press conference to Sunday. And first of all, we got to give props to Pete, because last week, Pete, what was it that you said last week? Last week's episode?
You guys were saying it was going to be a pre-E3 private Microsoft announcement or party or something to that effect, and I countered and said no. I had a feeling, a trembling within the force, that said it was going to be at E3. And for once, I was right.
Okay, so what if they announce, hold on a second, what if they announce closer to E3? Oh, we have a media event a month before E3.
See, why you got to go and take my shine? Why can't you just let it
be? No. I'm just saying, what if? Then we can say that you're wrong, but you're right now.
See, you can't let me be right. You can't let me flourish.
It's all good.
No, regardless, it doesn't matter. I mean, I think the public is just clamoring to get this kind of information. They just want to know, mm-hmm. when is Scorpio coming out? What's it going to cost? How much is it going to set them back? And when can they get their hands on it, right? When can they start? I'd say start saving your money for it soon, you know, now anyways, because it's going to set you back a couple hundred bucks. So,
yeah. And Paris, I know we were having a conversation earlier today about this whole change of Microsoft having this event on a Sunday instead of Monday. You know, in the past, they will always have a press conference a day before Sony, because Sony used to have their press conference on Tuesdays. So then Microsoft had it on Monday morning. And then years later, Sony changed it from Tuesday to Monday. So they had it that same day as Microsoft. Now, the difference is back then when Microsoft had their press conference first, they had like a whole 24 hours of just a buzz about their games and news and about the console. And then ever since Sony went back to Monday, they always get that shine that day after their press conference and stuff. So what is your theory about Microsoft having this event on a Sunday instead of Monday this time?
Yeah, and I actually talked about this theory on Facebook Live earlier today, so make sure you check that out. You get a sneak peek. But basically, the fact that they're doing it on Sunday, it's going to allow them to say, all right, they can kind of own the day by doing it on Sunday. The media gets to come see Project Scorpio. It'll be broadcast everywhere. Everyone's going to get super excited about it. Then Sunday night, that's going to allow them, because typically what they do is that night after their E3 briefing, they'll have like a media showcase, right? Where we can come check out all the games and everything that they showed. So they can still do all that Sunday night. They'll probably, just like last year, do it at the Galen Center, which is really convenient. So you get all that out of the way on Sunday. And then Monday, all day fan fest. All day for the public. Yeah. All the fans get to come check out the entire Xbox lineup the day before E3 even opens. All day. You know what I mean? So
isn't Bethesda doing their party that Sunday at 6 p.m. as well?
Yeah, who's bigger though?
Yeah. That's a third party press conference. It's not like a Sony or Microsoft or Nintendo
conference. I mean, think about it. EA Play is going to be going on at the same time too. But this is the point. If Microsoft does it on Sunday, they're going to have all the attention. It's a brand new console. A console's is attention. So they unveil Scorpio, show whatever new IPs are coming out. They own all of Sunday. Monday is all about the fans. You give it up to the fans. And then that allows the 15,000 people that are coming to E3 for the public to just go enjoy E3 after that and do whatever they want. So to me, that makes total sense. And then Sony, even if they move up their event earlier in the day on Monday, or they still keep it like Monday night or whatever, doesn't matter. Because Microsoft is saying fans have all day to check out our Xbox content. And if you want to go watch Sony, you can go do it. And then you can still come back and see our content. You know what I mean? So it's smart. It'd be a great move for them. And it makes Microsoft more fan friendly by doing this. That, hey, we're here for you. We want you to check out our stuff. We're an open book. You might have to stand in line all day, but once you get in, you get to check, right? But you get to check out all our stuff. So it's a smart move. So I actually would be surprised if they don't do this, to be honest with you. It just makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. And remember too, like I've been noticing now, because we always receive like emails from like their PR, Microsoft PR and stuff. And, you know, we get to see like other Xbox employees posting stuff on like through social media and stuff. And one of the things that they've been promoting a lot and mentioning a lot is the return of Xbox Fan Fest. You know, it's on the email, it's in social media and everything. So yes, they mentioned about Sunday, June 11th at 2 p.m. Pacific time is their press conference, but they're really pushing Xbox Fan Fest, which makes a lot of sense, Paris, that you mentioned that, to have it on the Monday, the Fan Fest. And I think having the same location as the press conference, dude, that's a win for them, man. A win. So Sunday will be like the media and everything. And then at night is the event only for media. Now, my question is to you, during the next day, should they do it early or like an all-day thing or only at night for the fans?
All day. 9 a.m. 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. All day. That's what I say. Why not?
I think afternoon. I think afternoon and up.
I love how he asked me this question. And then I give him an answer, and then he just, your idea is dumb. So much better.
Besides the obvious Scorpio stuff, what else do you think Microsoft might announce, and the reason I'm asking this is because I just happen to be scrolling through Twitter at the moment, and somebody said Kinect 3.0.
And that was Ace Attorney. I know exactly who you're talking about.
I didn't want to flame him just in case people were going to think he's crazy, but since you outed him.
Kinect?
Well, you
Kinect?
Know what?
3.0.
I actually replied to that same Twitter question from Josh over at Xbox. And what I said was, which is I think would be huge, major AAA third-party support for UWP. If they get that
I agree with.
Woo, that's big for them. And when I say major AAA, I'm talking something like Destiny 2 or right. something big from EA or whatever, you know what I mean? But just the big third-party games like Bethesda, whatever, like Wolfenstein or something is on UWP. That would be big for them. You know what I mean? To be able to have that, because me being a PC gamer, that inclines me to lean more towards getting UWP than going to Steam, because guess what? Now I get to play with all the Xbox people too. So that's how I look at it. You know, it makes me more flexible playing on PC, or if I eventually do wind up getting Xbox down the road, all those games work on either platform.
One thing too that I was thinking is that in a way it's good for Microsoft to have this event on Sunday, because they could also show all the third party games that day before anybody else, and also running on Scorpio instead of having it like, you know, on the PlayStation Pro PlayStation conference and stuff in there too. So that's a chance for them to show some games from EA that's run from Scorpio. Bethesda maybe before their press conference and so on. What'd you think about that?
Well, that really just comes down to who gets what deals and when. I mean, Microsoft obviously is going to have to secure whatever deals for third party to be able to show them on Sunday versus whatever third party deals. Like, for example, like I was just bringing up Destiny. There's no way they'll be showing Destiny. You know what I mean? That'll be reserved for PlayStation.
What about Red Dead?
Probably PlayStation.
You think?
If history keeps up, Sony's been the one that usually gets the marketing deal for those type of games. So you get what I'm saying, though. Who knows? We'll see.
But that's the thing. Like, what they should do to get that third party exclusive marketing, like how it is with Sony and Bungie and Activision with Destiny. They need something like that then for this event if they really want to push Scorpio, but at the same time too, they need to show us first party games and why we should buy this new console instead of, oh, it runs 4K. They need to show us more than that, Paris.
Oh, of course. And I was saying this on the Facebook Live earlier today, that Microsoft message has to be on point no matter what, as far as pricing, why you need to get Scorpio, the whole thing. So, and look, I'm sure, you know, they're tucked away somewhere in a meeting room right now with PR people, School and Aaron Greenberg and Phil Spencer and all these guys on the message. Because we've said this a million times, the mistake that they made it back in 2013, they were not united on their message on what the Xbox One was supposed to be. And because they weren't united on that, that's where all the confusion came from. And people were turned off by the thing that they were trying to do. With Scorpio, they need to be all united, 100% on point.
Pete, your thoughts?
No, I think Paris nailed it right on the head there. So I don't think there's anything else that they have to do. They have to make sure that what they can't do moonwalks outside of E3. Like they need to do a walk off grand slam home run at the bottom of the ninth to win the World Series type of shot. And whether if that's a culmination of super closely regarded, you know, industry secret AAA title that they've pulled out with nobody being able to leak it, along with price and all of the hardware, all the hardware requirements. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Maybe something like Mass Effect exclusive to Microsoft. I doubt they're going to do something like that. But I mean, that would be something that would have to be like that AAA third party title that takes them up. But I mean, whether they could do something like that, I don't know. Now, I will say, going back to the Kinect 3.0, I would love to be able to do that reload command on Mass Effect, so I don't have to sit there and press the button. Little things like that are what make me miss the Kinect, whereas other than that, or being able to tell my TV to, you know, turn on, turn off, whatever. But I don't know. Maybe Ace Attorney's got something up his sleeve. Maybe he knows something we don't. You know. Who knows?
Nah, I really doubt it's no connect stuff. Nah. Well, I tell you this, you know what would be crazy? If Microsoft show like a huge game that we haven't seen in a very long time, like maybe a new Splinter Cell. I know Paris mentioned this a couple of times, a new Banjo-Kazooie game. That would be awesome. I read online, this is according to Phil Spencer, that Phantom Dust is coming out before E3. That's their plan, to release it right before E3. So, I don't know. What other games they should announce that day? Well, or that has potential to be announced that day? Should they show a new Halo game for next year?
No.
Like a tease at the end?
Yeah, maybe a tiny tease, probably.
Yeah, for like, 2018 or something like that. Yeah, they could do that.
And should it be Master Chief related? Or should they move away from John 117?
No, if anything, they need to refocus on Spartan 117 instead of that nonsense they did in Halo 5. That was the whole problem with Halo 5. It, you know, they advertised it like Master Chief was in the game, but really he wasn't. And that was the little switcheroo that they did that pissed people off more than anything. Yeah. I know it did for me.
All right. So, I mean, there's any other things, any other predictions before we move forward to our next topic?
Not any real predictions other than this is, I got excited to see this because it tells me Microsoft is obviously very confident about what they're going to show at E3 with Project Scorpio and the games that are going to be attached to it. The fact that they would move it to Sunday, and it's just like, now there's this extra focus squarely that's going to be on Microsoft for that day. Cause yeah, Bethesda will still do their thing Sunday night or whatever, but again, they're a little third party, but they're a third party. I mean, Microsoft's debuting a new console, and they're going to have the total spotlight for Sunday. So it's going to be pretty big, man. I'm excited to see what they're going to have. I really am.
I'm very excited, and here's the thing, too. Like, I was very excited about the whole PlayStation 4 Pro, like their press conference. Man, we're going to see something big. And the press conference wasn't really, how do I say this? It wasn't really all that, but it did manage to get a lot of people to actually pre-order the system and buy, just because a lot of them are just fans of PlayStation, or maybe they already have a 4K, they wanted to upgrade and so on. So my thing is, I'm afraid that we get like way too hype, and then when we get there, it's kind of like, it was okay. I don't know. Do you think that might happen, or do you think there's potential of them having like a better press conference than the real reveal of PlayStation 4 Pro?
Well, yeah, I mean, the Pro was a very mellow reveal. They weren't trying to go for the big, you know, the big bang reveal or whatever with the Pro. It was kind of, hey, here it is, here's what it does, here's a couple games, all right, we're out. Whereas Microsoft's about to go all out with this. I mean, you can tell they're treating this like a new console. They are. So that's what I fully expect this to be like a new console reveal. So again, I'm excited to see what they got. I really am.
Yeah, that video that they showed last year, right at the end of the press conference, where they talked about Project Scorpio, that was a very powerful video for something that they're trying to push a year from now. Well, at that time, it was a year. But that was a very powerful video. A lot of people talked about that, man. So I don't know. I don't want to get too hyped, but we'll see. We'll see. I hope everything works out, man. So.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it. Take it out. You're listening to Gamertag Radio.
So you guys ready to talk about For Honor? Impressions? I don't want to review the game yet. I think we should review it in a week from now or so. But who wants to start about this whole For Honor thing, man? Very quick.
I don't know. Paris, have you played it yet?
Nope.
Okay.
All right. So, Danny, it's just you and I.
Yeah. Hey, it's only us two, Pete. No, Pete, I'll tell you this, Pete. I play the single player game. So far, I'm kind of like, it's decent. It's not, you know, not groundbreaking, but I feel like I'm loving the multiplayer so much in this game.
Why?
Like, it's so much fun. It's very addicting and everything. But go for it. What are you going to say?
Well, why? Why is it? Why is it addicting? Why is it?
As you said, I haven't played a game like this ever. Like this type of game like this, and the thing is, it's very challenging. I'm playing against other players. Sometimes I'll play against the AI because I wanted to practice and so on. But the thing is, too, is while you finish the game and you're about to go to like another session, another round of like another session, you're going to fight like another group of people. While you're there getting ready like for your character, equip them and everything, there's a part where you could go to see if your class is taking over the that land or whatever they show, that map. So mm-hmm. I'm always going there and I deploy my army mm-hmm. so I could help others for us to take that whole area. I don't know if you've ever done that or not. Have you done that?
No, I haven't.
That helps.
I've got very minimal. Okay. So whereas you've put in a lot of multiplayer time, I've spent a lot of time, maybe too much, on the single player and co-op single player mm-hmm. campaign.
Okay, so let's say you picked what's your class? I have like samurai. That's my.
I chose the knight, and I'm using
the knight
Mercy's character, the
okay
the dual blade thief.
When you go to the multiplayer, when you go to the multiplayer, you're gonna see a map, and you see. You pick what type of matches you want, if it's like a duel or whatever, and they'll show a map, and depends on the type of class that you have, they show like different colors there. And so when you, let's say you play a little bit and you go the next day, then the map, the color of the map changes again, because depending on the people that are actually playing and depending the class that they have, they could also take over the area of the map, like more, like let's say you go in this and you'll see more yellow, like that's knights. Mine is more like a greenish kind of blue type color. So when you're taking a break and about to go to like another match with another group of people, you could go there and check out their map, and you could send an army to go to a section there. So the more you do that, then your class, everybody's in the class and around the world with that game, could also take over, and that will help your class. Like you will get more stuff, more stuff. So besides the deathmatch and everything else that you do, there's more stuff to do there. Like the game could get really, really deep, and I don't know. I just find it like unique and different. You
and,
know,
and
so
that's like the 30-day. That's like the 30-day war, essentially, right? Like every month it resets.
It resets. Yep.
Gotcha. Okay. Yep. I was wondering, because I haven't really spent a lot of time on this. So I was wondering, like, why is it, what's with the 30-day thing? What's with, you know, why do we have these?
I mean, they broke it down once you try the beta. Mm-hmm. There was a video right before you start multiplayer that they explained that and the things that you could do in the game and everything. So, I mean, I'm loving it, dude. Like, there's some really good players online, man. You know, like I had a match, a dual match, a one-on-one match. And man, the guy was like kicking my butt, man. I was like, yo, I'm like playing so bad right now. So it was 2-0. Dude, then I came back and destroyed him, yo. Every round I was kicking his butt, man. Like, I figured out the controls, I got used to and everything. Like, it gets really, really challenging, man. So I'm loving that. Oh, I'm loving the whole 1v1, 4v4.
I do remember everything. Doing a 2-on-2 last night. Me and my friend.
How was that?
Funk. And it's funny because if you happen to lose, the competitive streak in you kind of bubbles up, and it's like, no, rubber match. Let's go. Do it again. And things like that is what tends to lead you down the 2 a.m. hole when, you know, next thing you're like, oh, it's 2 a.m. I got to go.
Yeah. And that's the thing. I want to play with friends. I want to play with people that I know, cause we could strategize like, okay, Pete, go to Bravo, take over that area. Okay. I'll stay here in Alpha like that. Like, I would like to try that out too, because right now I've been playing like with random people, but still it's so much fun. Like, I've been playing for the past few days. I've been sleeping to like 2 or 2:30 in the morning. Yes, I'm just like upgrading my characters, my heroes and everything. So it's cool. I want to talk more about it later because I want to finish the single player campaign in there. So, but I think for those that are they already got the game or they're planning to get the game. To me, the single player is more like a practice thing, like a tutorial. I see it like that. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't really like the story. I'm not really connecting with the story at all. But the thing that this game shines the most is the multiplayer, man. The multiplayer is no freaking joke, man. Super entertaining. Love it. Love it. Now, the question is, months from now, and that's the question I have about the game, you know? So the only thing that I'm really missing that I need to see when are they planning to unlock that, or maybe it depends on the level that you're at.
Right.
The section where it says events, it hasn't been unlocked yet. So I don't know what they're planning to do with that at all. So,
okay then.
You know what I'm talking about?
No, I haven't played a lot. I haven't played enough of the multiplayer to really notice that. So, like, again, it was a quick, you know, 2-on-2 for an hour situation of just four friends online, and then we would jump into each other's, you know. So it would, like, me and my friend Flynn, and then our two buddies, Southsider and whatever. Like, we would, you know, it'd be 2-on-2, and then we would switch teams, you know, and then we would go 1-on-1s, and then going back for it. It was just us four playing, you know, against each other, whether it was a 2-on-2 or 1v1s, and that's all we really did. We really didn't do a lot of, like, you know, us two versus another group of two versus a bunch of randoms and stuff like that. So I really haven't spent as much time. And I guess that's what I'll probably be doing over the next, you know, the next week.
Yeah. Whenever you are online, let me know. Hit me up. We'll play it. And any GTR listeners that already got this game, hit me up. We'll play online and so on, because I want to get a good group and we get attack and take over, man. So now my question is, Pete, why do you choose the Knights?
I don't know. The when I first started thinking about character decision, I said, you know, I didn't do the go into a match and decide a character. I went straight to character creation. I thought, because I have an Asian background, I would have gone straight to the samurai, and I hovered over the character. And then I was like, no, let me be Vikings, because Vikings are, like, essentially the tank, right? They're just like straight power. But then I just said, you know what, I'll just go with the Knight and eventually go back and pick somebody else. Because you can always go back and forth and select whoever you want. And even when selecting your multiplayer character or whatever, you can choose, I think it's to train a herald or something like that. You can choose somebody else to be, as opposed to your primary character. So I actually went over, and because we have the Gold Edition, it comes with, you know, certain perks. Like, you get extra characters, you get a couple of scavenge boxes, and you get a bunch of gold. So I actually used that, and I grabbed Mercy, and I broke down a couple of scavenger boxes, and got some cool weapons and armor, and, you know, outfitted my character that way.
P, I know we have a sponsor for this week.
So for the past few weeks, the family and I have been able to enjoy meals from our newest sponsor, Blue Apron. Blue Apron is the number one fresh ingredient and recipe delivery service in the country, and their mission is to make incredible cooking accessible to everyone. One of the great things about Blue Apron is the variety of new recipes. You tend to get into routines, and that eventually translates to lazy cooking, but not with Blue Apron. You know what furikake is? Yeah, it sounds funny. I know. I didn't until we had it as a result of one of their new recipes, and now it's almost like a game with our kids to see when the next meal with furikake will come around. Little do they know that their recipes are not repeated within a year, and you'll never get bored. Blue Apron adds variety and flexibility to not just your meal, but your life schedule too. Why spend that extra time at the store when you can just have your meals delivered to your door every week? All you have to do is check out this week's menu and get your first three meals free with free shipping by going to blueapron.com/gamertag. You'll love how good it feels and tastes to create incredible home-cooked meals with Blue Apron, so don't wait. That's blueapron.com/gamertag. Blue Apron, a better way to cook.
It's time for fan mail.
Fan mail at gamertagradio.com.
Fan mail.
I don't know if you did it or P, because I couldn't hear it.
But, I did. Now, okay. I don't know why, but I cupped my hands over the microphone, like, to make it sound better, and I blocked the mic, so whatever.
All right, okay, sorry. Don't worry about it.
Actually, I got one. This one is from Ryan. Hey guys, just a quick question for you. Back on episode 579, Paris had made a comment that on the next E3, you guys were considering just doing coverage from the hotel room and attending the big ones like PlayStation and Microsoft. Just curious if you guys were still considering that option, especially now that the general public will now have access to E3. Personally, I think it's a great option. You can still get first impressions of games watching live feeds, and you wouldn't even have to get dressed. Although the atmosphere wouldn't be the same, but for E3 vets, maybe that's not a big deal. Thank you for every episode. I appreciate all your hard work and dedication, guys. Ryan Thomas, Franklin, Indiana.
All right. Thanks, Ryan.
I'll say this. I don't think it's going to be that bad, specifically because the general public typically doesn't have access to the press conference. They won't, unless they're part of, you know, Microsoft giving out, you know, like 500, you know, passes or whatever, which they typically do, but more along lines of more to the bigger hardcore fans. I know they've done that the last couple of years. Same with Sony and so on and so forth, but I'm not as concerned for the press conferences as much as I am for just the regular E3 conference.
Paris?
Yeah, just like I already said, I'll go to Microsoft and Sony. The rest, maybe not. Right now, I'm leaning towards not. I'd rather just do it in the whole, just do it at the apartment, man. I don't know.
You know,
man.
What? We should do a live stream of us watching the press conference, and we'll give like our reaction there. We could do it through Facebook Live.
Yeah,
we could do something like that.
Yeah, we'll figure it out once we get closer to June what we'll do exactly. Yeah. Honestly, it just depends on the final schedules for when everything's paced out. The fact that Microsoft moved it to Sony now, that makes Monday a little more manageable. Like, I'm sure someone's going to try and move into that 9 a.m. slot that Microsoft is vacating, so it'll be curious to see who does that.
Well, here's a good thing. We don't have to wake up early Monday morning anymore.
Well, not necessarily. That's what I mean. What if Sony decides they're going to just do it at 9 a.m. on Monday?
I don't know. I don't see that from Sony. I think Sony's still going to keep it the same time.
He can't even just speculate. It's like, nope, they're not doing it.
I just don't see it. I don't see it, man.
No, there's no gray area with Danny.
No, there's no
black or white.
There's no, oh, it could be possible. He's like, nah, I don't see it. No, they're not going to do it.
No, you know why? You know why? Because I think Sony's still going to do the food truck stuff and everything. Like, they're not, I don't know. I just don't see them doing it in the morning.
You get breakfast burritos. It's the same thing.
Nah, man.
No, just not the sauce. You can't do sausage. You can't do bacon. Remember, he don't dine on swine.
Look, he's so negative. So negative.
You're negative. You're the mean one here. You're the mean one here, dork. All right, so let's see.
This one is from Mark, and he's saying, hi, guys. Love the show. I listened to one of Paris's Facebook videos where he spoke about his concerns about Mass Effect Andromeda because he doesn't feel he has seen enough. He said he liked the way BioWare promoted Mass Effect 2, specifically quoting the way they revealed that Shepard dies at the start. For once, I totally disagree with Paris. I think BioWare screwed over gamers by spoiling the start of Mass Effect 2. That reveal would have been more impactful if it was a surprise. Regarding information about Andromeda, have you signed up for the Andromeda Initiative? There's tons of videos and information there about the game, and you unlock in-game stuff. I will forgive you for not knowing. Well, thank you for forgiving me for not knowing about the Andromeda Initiative because I don't think they advertised it very well. Exactly. P.S. Mass Effect Andromeda is all about exploring a new world. Exploring new worlds. So why on earth would the Tempest ship not have any weapons? Doesn't seem smart to me. Keep up the good work. Mark from England. So, Mark, here's the thing. And again, I was a huge Mass Effect fan. And I was lucky enough at that time to talk to Casey Hudson on two separate occasions. And I had the one long interview with him. And they were very upfront about Shepard dying early on because that wasn't the big surprise and the big reveal about it. So that's why they were okay with giving up that information. It was the whole, and again, I don't go into Mass Effect 2, but it was the whole reason that he was resurrected was the whole point of Mass Effect 2. So to me, I didn't think that spoiled anything or gave anything away. And like you said, with Andromeda and the Andromeda Initiative, sure, there might be a ton of stuff in there, but how the hell is anybody supposed to know if you don't tell me? You know what I mean? And why are you locking it behind, I have to sign up for the Andromeda Initiative, which actually I think I did sign up for it. I think I did. Maybe I didn't, because I don't
know. But you know, it went back.
Yeah, because I don't think I got anything relevant from it. But my point still stands. I just don't feel like they've given us enough. But I did see Destin over at IGN. He had tweeted out that I guess they went to BioWare and they got to see Andromeda, and they're going to have some big reveal on it. So maybe this is the reveal that I've been waiting for, and IGN's going to have some exclusive thing on it. I don't know, but I just want to see a little more. I just want to see a little more to get me excited about it, so I'll feel justified for my pre-order getting it at the end of March. That's all.
Yeah, there was a bunch of people today, if I'm not mistaken, Ryan McCaffrey, Alana Pierce, a bunch of other people. They actually had a preview event.
Isn't that what I just said?
Yeah, I was just giving you a little bit more detail. So shut up.
Wow, he was ready to call you out, Pete.
Well, I did call him out because that's literally what I just said.
No, you said you think, but no, I'm confirming they actually did. A bunch of people.
Okay. All right. Fine. Whatever.
Gotta be so confrontational.
Four consoles, whatever. Right?
All right, Pete, there's an email. Directly para tu, para ti.
Damn it. You're Spanish. You couldn't even say it right the first time.
No, you're a punk. All right, Pete, this is email. This email is from Keith, and this is about the Nintendo Switch. Hope you're ready for this one.
Huh? Bring it.
Pete, you're absolutely wrong about the Switch costing $500 plus before you purchase a game. The console costs $299 with a game $59 before tax. Everything you mentioned is not necessary. The reason you have a huge HDD on the other consoles is due to game installs. This is not required on the Switch. All data is on the cartridge. I'm aware that we're coming into the digital age, and I personally love it. However, if you go physical with the Switch, there's a good chance you will not need to buy an additional micro SD card yet. You don't need a pro controller, as most people haven't even experience the Joy-Cons. In a way, I can see where he's coming from. Just buy the console and the games. Let not push this narrative of the Switch being expensive when it's not. Anyway, keep up the great work. Oh, there are some great games coming out this year for the Switch. Get out of your bubble, because that's how we miss gems.
So I'm going to get back into what I talked about on the last show. I didn't say before it was going to be $500. It's $300 for the Nintendo Switch. Me personally, I can attest, I do not feel that Joy-Cons are valid as a controller. Yes, they're functional when they're put together with a grip, but it doesn't matter if you're going to buy the grip or you're going to buy the Pro Controller. You're still coming out of your pocket if you want a secondary controller. If I get a Switch, I am going to want a second controller. I don't want to deal with those little tic-tac boxes called Joy-Cons. Considering I'm in tech, I'm not going to want all these little mini cartridges that I'm going to lose. Okay? I have a dog. I've got kids. Things get lost. I'm not going to take that chance. I'd much rather go digital. And at that point, yes, before you get a game, you're already $500 in the hole. So for me personally, in my experience, it is going to be a $500 plus purchase. You do you, boo-boo. If that's what you want to do and you don't want to get all the other accoutrements with your Switch, don't. But don't come at me for that. Now, going down to your last piece, there's one game at physical launch, then at the launch window of, 6 to 8 months out, is when we'll finally start to see the Splatoons and what is it, Mario. But until then, the only thing you have in your hand at launch is going to be Zelda. Is that going to be enough? Now that they've got that season pass and DLC stuff that they just talked, that was just announced, is it going to be enough?
That's not a bad thing, though.
Is it?
Having DLC for Zelda? Hell no, it's not. $20 for DLC season pass?
But have they truly detailed out what's going to be in that season pass?
Yes. Have you even seen the video?
No, because I don't care.
Oh, well, so you don't know.
So no, but if you're going to bring it up, let's say.
All right. So they're going to have extra. They're going to have extra modes, extra content. I think during the holidays, they're also going to have like a brand new story and everything, which is smart because look, right now there's a group of people that are going to be buying the Switch. You know, the hardcore fans are going to buy it now in March. Now, for those that are planning to buy the Switch because of Mario, like Paris, this is an opportunity for him to buy Zelda and also get that season pass for him to get that extra story and extra dungeon and all of this stuff for the game. So by the time he gets it at the end of the year, he's gonna have even more content with Zelda, you know. So I don't see that as a bad thing. I think that's
so
smart,
I'm reading it,
opinion.
And the expansion pass gives you 3 treasure chests, one of which
that's
will
early.
Give you a shirt with a logo that Link can wear.
That's early. That's early. That's
right,
right
okay.
after the
okay.
game comes
okay.
out.
Stop being defensive. Give me a second here.
No,
the
I'm not.
Other
I'm
two
saying
will
the truth.
Deliver useful items. The first content pack is scheduled to launch in the summer, mm-hmm. which will include a Cave of Trials challenge, a hard mode, and a new mm-hmm. feature for the map. The second yeah. one in holiday adds new challenges that will let players enjoy a new dungeon and a new original story.
Yeah.
But by that time, the holiday season, you've got the Splatoons and you've got the Mario universes and all of the other major games. I'm sorry. At this point, the only true launch title for the Switch is going to be Zelda. And until Splatoon and Splatoon is for summer, right?
It's right after Mario Kart. So Mario Kart is in April. So yeah, summer. I think May. Not 100% sure. I think May when it comes out.
I don't know. My personal opinion. I'm in the same bus with Paris. I just don't think it's something worth shelling out the money until after September, October, when you've got a much larger catalog of games and the system has gone through its paces with a much larger sample size of people playing it to make sure that it's worth throwing your cash at, and it's not a cash grab at the beginning like everything else mm-hmm. has been, and people then get buyer's remorse for buying something that they thought was going to be something and it's not.
All right, that's your opinion.
It is.
I disagree, but that's your opinion.
That's fine. And you're more than welcome to disagree. Level-headed gamer.
First of all, I'm open-minded, man. I say my things, man. I have my own opinions about this, look, the Switch is not for everyone. It's not for everyone, but hey, I'm loving it. I'm excited. I'm gonna buy it, and you know, and if you don't get it, that's fine. That's fine. You know, Paris will eventually get it because I know his kids loves Mario and all these games, and he likes it too. So, yeah, you don't have to buy it now. Buy it during the holidays. Maybe there will be a special. Who knows? All right, so we're going to wrap it up. Head over to GamertagRadio.com or play.it/GamerTag. Listen to our past episodes, and you can find us on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, and other podcast directories.
Send us your feedback or questions. Yep. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@GamertagRadio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/GamertagRadio.
And I think that's it, guys. We're gonna wrap it up. Anything else you want to bring up before we wrap this up?
Oh no, I think that's about it for this week.
Facebook Live. Go to our search for Gamertag Radio on Facebook and like us and get notifications every time we have a live streaming session. So the next time P is gonna stream, he's gonna lock himself out again and then he's gonna stream live again.
Yeah,
there you go.
Don't get started on that. All I know is I'm going to throw out a quick prediction.
Okay.
And we'll see if something like this happens come up. Maybe little Miss Cleo.
Yeah.
Shadow of the Tomb Raider at E3. Hey, it's
here comes Danny shooting down your opinion.
Yep. Coming guns blazing like Yosemite Sam. Oh, look, there's an opinion. Bam, 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 bam.
First of all, you know why I'm like that, Paris? You know I'm like that? Because you guys don't let me dream. I said 4 SKUs, you shut me down. I said Battle Tools, you
happen.
Shut me down.
And it didn't happen.
So you know
happen.
What? I'm going to continue with my theories. And every time you guys came up with your theories, I'm going to shut it down like if it's all good, man. no shine, no dream for you guys either, man. And when I go to California, Paris, I'm gonna say four to your dog one more time.
Yeah, he's gonna bite you too.
On that note, we're out. Peace.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.
All right, so here's another email. This is from Jesse. Greetings, Gamertag Radio. This is Jesse from Connecticut, Xbox, Gamertag, Silent J86. Just finished episode 634. I wanted to respond to whether Xbox needed their own separate press conference prior to E3, similar to how Nintendo and PlayStation showed up their consoles.
Danny.
Yeah.
We've already answered this.
We did?
Yeah. Oh, it's literally the whole topic of the show. Microsoft is doing an E3 event. Pete was right. That's why I didn't read this one.
God damn it.
Read! And you just gave me boo. You just gave me all that crap. Getting the show right there.
Yeah, we're done. That's it.